important. In testimonies, we don't focus on how bad we were. That's not of our interest. But we focus on the transformation that the Lord has made in our lives. And we are a living witness, a witness of the power of salvation of the Lord. We are witnesses of His mercy, His compassion, and His provision for us. And so we hope that, on the one hand, this helps to get to know each other, but also, especially, to bring glory to the Lord and to be encouraged to keep growing in our faith. So our first story is from Hermas. How do you pronounce your name?
Thank you, Master. I'm blessed to be here.
Thank you. What's your name?
I'm Hermas Abudu.
Hermas. Okay, Hermas, where are you from?
I'm from Ghana.
Could you briefly describe to us how was your childhood or when you were young? How were you raised? What was your life at that time?
Okay, thank you very much. May the name of God be blessed upon this day. Just about 34 years ago, I'm going to use maybe just in the testimony telling, just use a flashback approach to give it. I was born into a polygamous family. And that is polygamous family here means my father was married to two women. So I was in a traditional just family where they worship shrines and demons, right? And I can testify, I have been to those shrines before. Not just that I was not aware, but because that was what they were doing. Because that when you are in a society, you basically do what they do. There was no exception that I could take my way from it, except the call of God. And the appropriate time came, God called me. So it happened this way. I went, just like at the age of 12, I started school. Just all by myself. I bought my own books, started to go to school. So, just right from primary up to Genesis, honestly speaking, before it is God that is my witness, I bought everything and did all things until I completed my Genesis. So, thereafter, I was to go to Genesis. By then, I have gathered some small money. My mother has to support me. Like I said, I escaped one. I lost my dad in 1992. So it was only my mother that was just supporting me one way or the other. So I completed the RSS just all by myself, the support of my mom. So I even paid, just call it about 70% of the school fees, RSS. She supported me money, and quite apart from that, she bought the other things. So you may know that as my father passed on in the tradition, all his properties and cattle he was having all belongs onto our senior brother on the other side. Upon several attempts for him to support me in my education, he paid no heed to that. So I was actually left on my own with that of my mother just to do on our own. So I completed this RSS with that in the school. My uncle, that is in the year 2006, he introduced me to a man. He bought me university from. Because I never look at the family in which I'm coming from. Because if you are very poor, why do you think that your next place would be university, if not any other place? But by the grace of God, when he introduced the man to me, he only bought me the university from. By then, I have gathered some few money with my brother. That was the money. Maybe if you can remember, just maybe that in those standards, 2006, there's 300 Ghana cedis. If you convert it, maybe in the current terms, maybe yen, it will just be about 400 RMB plus. So we paid the money. I went to the school. In university, no support. I was doing my own things. So just the support, I enrolled into student loan, and the student loan, that was what was supporting me. That was what I was dependent on. So, honestly speaking, I completed the university with debt in the school too. Who, like I said, I only got the certificate upon paying for it. Maybe when I had done my national service for about a few months, and I went and paid and picked the certificate. So I'll leave it at the end of the university.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it was a rough time having a divided family, financial troubles, learning to be an independent man. I can imagine.
Yeah, very now, right.
How came that you started considering Christianity?
I started...
Because you mentioned also your trust on demons and idols before. So how did you make the switch?
Yeah, having established my background, maybe in the traditional background, one may be wondering how I got into Christianity, like you asked. So the scripture says that in the book of John 6:65, that unless my Father call you, you cannot come unto me. And Jesus also said it in same John, that when Philip was calling you under the fig tree, I have seen you. So I can say it was actual God who called me, considering where I was coming from. I went to church by myself. It is nobody who advised me or actually forced me to church. I went to church basically by myself. And having belonged to the church, honestly speaking, I belonged to my Roman Catholic Church. I was baptized in 1994. So I was baptized into the church, confirmed as well. Then I became an altar boy. There I could read my own Bible, just pray. This is how it is.
Now, as a believer, can you share any experience, one experience in your Christian life that has been like a landmark, something important that marked your life, that drew it closer to the Lord?
Thank you, Pastor. The one turn I will start with is has to do with I was having a girlfriend. Maybe sorry if I use that, but I should be clear on the voice. So on one occasion, I was in my bed. I had a dream. I see the lady belong or just doing evil things. So I set forth. When I say evil things, maybe just worshiping or belonging to call them demons. I see that very clearly. So I set forth not to do anything with the lady. So just some few weeks pass. So she realized it. And I'm going to use a codified language here. She caused me to commit myself. And there, she then sent my name to demons to kill me, which I did not know of. So one thing of me is that, like I said, I've been called just by God. Prayer can just be like my food. Right now, has it not been that I was not talking? I can just be praying with you. You wouldn't know. So I was in bed one night praying. Yes, I was tapped. I believe for sure that's the angel of God. She wake up. She open a diary book of the lady. I opened the book. I saw what she wrote about me. Hermas, that's the way she started with. Instead of just saying my... Anyway, he just said, Hermas does not deserve to live. That was what she wrote in the diary. And in the book, I was second on the list. Now, just to say this, and about some few months passed, that particular person whose name was first has already passed on, was dead. Who happened to have been the former boyfriend?
So basically, you found your death sentence. Basically.
That, you're very right. So I was just in the grave. So it means that when she sent me there to ghosts, I just couldn't use demons, right?
Yeah, now let me make a comment here. Yeah. Some people may laugh whether they just don't understand this is real, or sometimes we laugh when we feel totally powerless. Yeah, it is like the way Mexicans, traditional Mexicans, approach death is with humor. But that is just a sign of our powerless to face death. So we are talking about things that are actual, that happen, and that it's pretty serious. Yeah. So it's not like a made-up story to make us laugh. It's different. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just to continue. Like, because when you even being called, the scripture also even says that in Philippians 2:12, you have to work your salvation. So that is working out your salvation has to do with what prayer and just belonging to God. So I've seen that it happened. So she has realized that now I have seen this. And one night, and actually speaking, she was staying with me. You could stay with me for over 1 month without going. So we went in bed one night. What she woke me up and said, she wanted to tell me something. I said, go ahead. She said, just like, I don't know what came over her. You can call it, she confessed that she has sent my name. And the basic, so maybe one may learn lesson from here. How she sent me to the place was that even though we were in relationship, but she caused me, that was why I said I use a codified language. She caused me commit myself. That was her base of sending me to the demons. But she now said, upon that, it never worked. It did not work. The ghost.
Amen.
Yes, we praise God. Means I was too strong for the ghost to consume.
Okay.
So, she now has to say three things. That one, it was my prayer that saved me. Second, I was a good man. That was what she told me. And the third has to be that I should be very careful. So careful. So I just never wanted us to ask her, because once she was already saying that, I know it was not by her own strength that she was saying it, because she was being pressurized by Almighty God to confess and to bring maybe a stop to the evil things.
Amen.
Yeah.
I am glad you mentioned the Lord in that way. You describe him as the Almighty God.
Yeah.
So can we summarize that not only from the testimony of Scripture, that of course that's the most important, but now also from your experience, no matter how powerful the demons were or how evil the people were, the Lord Almighty is able to save. Would you agree with that?
That's very right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hermas, is there any specific verse from Scripture that is meaningful to you and would like to share with our fellowship?
That's very right. Take one that is 2 Timothy 1:7 and Psalm 119:99, where it talks about the power of God. And the talking about the Psalm 119:99 also talks about what? The testimonies in the Bible. You could meditate on them, because the Bible is basically made up of all testimonies of men and nations, and the mistress of heaven. Therefore, that was just my base. That having realized that there are powers working around, you could find refuge under the shadow of God.
Okay. How can we pray for you, Ernest?
I pray that you pray for me to have discernment and the understanding of his word to live according to his will.
Mm-hmm. Amen. May I ask, how is your mother doing? Is she still alive?
My mother is very alive. That's maybe one of the second, maybe I've left it. There are two testimonies who actually I intend to give. But my mother is still alive. Because my mom, I was just in one occasion, the Lord revealed to me that my mom was just about to die. I saw it in a dream, and I wept bitterly in my dream. I woke up the morning, I did say a prayer. And 2 days after, my junior brother, who was staying with my mom, called me. Somebody has told him that my mom was about to die. So we should buy maybe just traditional kind of cloth and rituals, preparing for her marriage. I say, God forbid. I said, I have seen it myself. It doesn't mean nobody need to come and tell me. I've seen it myself. And when I told him that I'm not going to buy anything for such things, because if I did, I have already even subscribed to the death of my mom. I told him that I'm not going to do that. Yeah. And I went on my knees. You take the book of 2 Kings 20, that is 2-3. When Hezekiah was told he was going to die, he see that that was not it. He went before God, and God heard his, you know, his prayer. And I can say, just before this church, the Bible is a testimony, the word of God. I think just, maybe I did not discuss it with pastor, but I'm just saying, he is a living testimony of the Bible. He used, I can still remember that particular book, that's Zechariah, the bones, the dry bones.
Yeah,
I remember it very clearly.
Ezekiel.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember the very day you gave a testimony here. And I know, so every testimony of the Bible, honestly, not just for fun or a story. God is not an executive director to reveal all things of this. So we must take just that for...
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's still alive, and I pray she's still alive.
Amen.
Very well.
I asked that question because the family was so sure his mother was about to die that even preparations for the funeral started, like buying these special clothes and everything. But Hermans refused to believe that. And she had a promise from the. He had a promise from the Lord, and declared his faith. And that's why I ask, "How is your mother doing today?" And he says, "He didn't say she's alive. He said he's very, very alive." I like that. Praise God. Let's pray for our brother Hermas. Thank you, Father, so much for having rescued our brother from the darkness of evilness. And even though from a human perspective, he didn't have a good start, so to speak, but he has a father in you, the best father ever. And so thank you so much for having rescued him, saved him, having had mercy on him. And now he confesses his name and your name and your salvation before the nations. Before many people. So we pray, Lord, as he humbly asked, that you will give him discernment. Discernment to make all the right decisions before you. And that you, Father, will provide for him every day of his life. And that his faith will continue to grow. And that he will have victory over darkness and over evil every time he needs to face that. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. And lastly, now not in your back home, but how has XICF been a blessing for you here away from home?
Well, XICF have been most tremendous. How do I say that? XICF still connect me to my God, to worship, to praise him, and to pray.
Amen.
And the second thing has to do with the small groups. It has also been fantastic good. Maybe if you do not belong to any small group, because there is a vacuum between from Sunday to another Sunday. And it is only the small groups that Amen. Also links you and break that particular gap.
Amen.
This is where you can get to learn, know more of the word, and get committed to God. This, just these two fold. SICF is who, you know,
Excellent.
I pray that, yes, there shall be blessing and favor upon Mount Zion for many.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Hermas.
God bless you.
God bless you. And now we have Amy. Amy, could you please introduce yourself?
My name's Amy. I'm from Xiamen.
And you are happily married to a gentleman that is somewhere there, yeah? Can you introduce us to your husband?
Yes.
Please, go ahead. Say his name. And
Richard Nelson. We just got married 2 months ago in the Chinese church, Jiangtou New District Church.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Amy, could you share with us a little bit about how you grew up, about your life at that time?
Sure. I grew up in the countryside of Quanzhou. Literally, all my friends and families, they were all Buddhists, and I never heard anything about Jesus.
Mm. Then, if you grew up in that Buddhist environment, how come you, at some point, became a believer in Jesus Christ? How did you choose Jesus Christ instead of all those other beliefs?
Well, I'll try to keep it short. And
no worries, we are not hungry today.
Well, I'm a little bit thirsty, actually. And in China, we were educated to believe in only science and the materialistic world. So I never thought there is a God. And it was until 2008, while I was in Shanghai, a German friend, we were having dinner. He told me he prayed every night before bedtime. And I kind of laughed at him, and I replied to him, there's no God. And so, actually, something happened to me 1 month later while I was interpreting for the president of a French company. After the meeting, I just couldn't utter any voice. Right after the meeting, I went to the restroom. I couldn't utter any voice. And I went through a medical check the next day at Zhongshan Hospital in Shanghai. Nothing was wrong. And I was so scared.
So nothing was wrong, but you could not speak at all.
I just couldn't speak.
So that means something was wrong, but the doctors could not figure that out, right?
No.
That's the meaning.
The doctors even had a panel meeting for me, together with the psychiatrist department, the neurosurgeons, and the internal medicine surgeons. Yeah. And well, how did I come to know Jesus Christ? It was also because I went to Xinjie English Corner 4 years later when I came back to Xiamen, and they were talking about one true God that day. And I argued with them because my mom is a very kind-hearted Buddhist. She could be, I could be proud, but she could be better than many Christians. So I argued with him why there's only one true God. Can I worship Buddha and also Jesus Christ? And then they quoted a scripture that touched my heart.
Do you remember which
scripture
was that?
Yeah, they said, the wind blows and nobody sees it, but you know it's blowing. And I had this kind of pride in my heart. At that time, I thought if Jesus Christ is real, God is real, he could have show up in front of me and I will know. So I want to see it before I believe
you.
It.
You're so kind.
Thank you. How sweet you are.
I'm hungry, actually. Just kidding. Sorry.
Yeah, and the water is sweet when I'm thirsty. So when they talk about the wind, I suddenly realize it's true. I shouldn't believe in things just, you know, because I wanted to see it. There are lots of things that we couldn't see, and the wind is clearly blowing. Somehow,
speak close to the mic.
Yes, somehow, and we knew the wind is blowing. And I also argue with the group leader in a small group, Joseph, a British boy. He was 19 years old. And he said he couldn't argue over me, but he gave his life to Jesus Christ when he was 17 years old. Out of no reason, that word of him just touched my heart, and I decided to read the Bible. And until 2013 in July, one day, I felt such a void. I don't know what happened. And it's at noon. I clearly remember I was walking through the corridor to my apartment. I felt such emptiness, such void. And I just vowed to Jesus Christ. I said, I believe you are real. And sins are real. And nothing could redeem us except through him.
Okay. Let me go back to a couple of her comments. And I hope this will encourage many of us. She says that it was a German friend who first shared with her about God. Now, her initial response was totally negative. But, you know, the seed was planted there. And so, I don't care which country you are from, if you know the Lord, you have a message to share. And it could be as simple as sharing with someone about the reality of God in your life and in the life of everybody else. That's one thing. The other thing that I want to rescue from this conversation is she mentioned something that probably not all of us are aware. She mentioned the English corner. Did you hear that? And it was at the English corner where she was more challenged, maybe, or invited to reflect more about the Bible and about God. So I hope at least you become curious, what's an English corner? And if you know how to speak in English, it doesn't matter if you are not a native speaker, you can be part of this. And you can ask Amy later. She can give you information about English corners because they need our help. And so this is a great living testimony about the efficacy of English corners, among other things. Now, Amy, in your testimony, you specifically mentioned the word idols. Can you share a little bit more with us about what's the difference between believing in idols and believing in Jesus Christ? Because some of us may need that encouragement.
First of all, ever since I was a kid, I went to the temple with my mom. Although I didn't believe in these idols, but I have developed a certain kind of awe towards those idols. And when I decided to cast or, you know, to turn away from idols, is when I realized it's not us who carve the idols into different shapes, you know. For Buddha, there are jade Buddhas, black-faced Buddha, golden-faced Buddha. It's not us who carve the gods. It's God who actually shaped us and carved us. That's why we have black eyes, hazel eyes, blue eyes, green eyes. Mm. Why we have curly hair, straightened hairs, and blonde hair, black hair, brown hairs. That's why it's God who shaped us, not we who shaped God.
Wow.
Yeah. And secondly,
I love it. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's beautiful.
And each and every one of us is unique. We didn't go through a certain kind of incarnation to be born to the next generation. Then we would look the same. But just look at your fingerprints. Each one of you, it's just you. There's no other one in history and no other one ever after.
Amen. Can you share with us any spiritual landmark in your Christian life, an experience that drew you closer to the Lord?
So I mentioned in 2008, I actually couldn't speak for almost 8 months. And
8 months?
Yeah, wow. That's the starting point of me questioning my belief in science, my belief in materialistic world. I started to wonder, there's a supernatural world. And in July 2013, I vowed to follow Jesus. In December 2014, I was baptized at Jiangtou New District Church. And in August 2018, God made the way straight, and I married a wonderful brother, Rich Nelson.
Okay. All right. Amy, you are relatively new to our fellowship. How has XICF been a blessing to you so far?
Through the support of XICF members to the Chinese churches, namely a few fellowships in town, that I got to know XICF a bit. Fellowships include the Sinji English Corner that I mentioned, and the Monday English Bible Study at Jiangtou New District Church, Life Talk in the mornings of Saturdays at Bamboo Church. These are all very popular in town. And I heard of SICF through the SICF members there. And also Eden Ministry has been a very, very great influential one to rescue those who are trapped in the red light districts. Yeah, and their prayers helped me a lot. Apart from that, after I attended XICF for 2 months, even before that, I listened to the audio recordings on the website.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Here you go. Website. Our website is important. Going to our website, you know, you can download the sermons, the PowerPoints, and the recordings. Apologies, the technology is not perfect. I am a perfectionist type of man, sadly. That gives me a lot of trouble. But just be forgiving and enjoy that blessing as well. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So the variety, the creativity, the insights of the scriptures and the stories really enhanced my faith and helped me a lot.
Amen. Yeah. I would like all of us to notice the blessing of XICF being in partnership with local Christian churches. Why? Because they have the know-how for many things that we as foreigners will never fully achieve. So we should be humble and coordinate with them for many, for example, social programs that we may not know how to do them properly. And so partnering with them is a big blessing. We can do many things in partnership with a local Christian Chinese churches that we ourselves just cannot make it happen. And so it's beautiful. And also it's a testimony of just working shoulder by shoulder together, doing things that bring glory to the Lord and that are a blessing to the community. I won't mention all the things that had been done. It's too many things, but just the concept of partnering with the local church. Good. Amy, how can we pray for you today?
Well, I would appreciate it if you could pray for me and Rich to continue to be kept in Christ, and also pray for my dad. He needs Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Well, before the eyes of the Lord, you and Richard, your husband, you are one. So what about Richard? Please come forward. We will pray for both of you together. I'm sorry to put you on the spot, Richard. Let's go down with Richard together and we pray with him. Together with your husband, Father, thank you so much for this beautiful new family. Thank you, Father, because as I have noticed in my conversations with them, you are at the center of their life. And we bless you for that, and we are thankful for that. Thank you so much for Amy's testimony, and we look forward to keep blessing this family among us, and that more and more of your work will be done in their lives, so that they will shine, reflect your light towards many others, and that we will later in the near future hear more stories of your goodness into Richard, Amy's, and them together as a family. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. God bless you. Go back to your seats.
God protects you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, could you please stand? We already announced the testimony project. Yeah, Julian already announced that. Yeah, I had that someone. Please stand up. You can always go to our website. Don't forget and see everything that is available there, including the testimony project. I am sure you all enjoy this service today. It was beautiful. I hope to see all of you next Sunday. And don't forget that if you have not been baptized, please contact me immediately so that we can make that happen if you have decided to follow Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for being with us and among us and within us. Such a miracle. And thank you so much, Father, for making all of us, even such a diverse fellowship, making us united in you. Help us, Father, to learn to love each other, because only in that way the world will know that we are your disciples. Help us, Father, to focus our attention on the things that are important for you, not the things that we are distracted with. Help us to grow in compassion towards those in need. Help us, Father, to love you more so that we won't be in captivity towards our sins anymore. There's no need for that. Help us, Father, to enjoy you more and more, so that when we come to worship you, it's not out of obligation, but out of joy. Thank you, Lord. We love you. And please bless each person that is here today. Bless them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. See you, XICF, next Sunday. God bless you.